Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined today by my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. God bless you. And we're glad to be here today. We are so glad to be here today. Thank you all for signing in to today's program. We're excited about what God is going to do today, and especially because we'll be talking about marriage. Right, baby?
Oh, absolutely. Again, I echo those words that we are so delighted every time we come to you, just sharing in God's goodness. I pray God's blessings upon everyone who listens on a regular basis, and marriage is a good thing. It's just a wonderful thing, and that's our topic of today.
Yes, and for those of you who haven't listened in a while, the good news is that my husband, Pastor Anthony, will be with us every Tuesday. Every single Tuesday, the Lord has led us to do this segment together. So it's a good thing. It is a good thing. And before we do anything, though, we want to go ahead and open in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Baby, did you want to pray today?
Yes, I would love to pray today, yes.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, even for this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray your blessings upon even as we are about to talk about marriage, that you have your way even as we, Father God, broadcast this topic about marriage. Lord, thank you for 12 years of marriage for us, and it's been a wonderful journey. But Lord, we pray for all marriages. We pray for those who are struggling in their marriage. We pray for those who are at a crossroads in marriage. And we pray for those, Father God, who are newlyweds and who've been married for a long time and have endured in the name of Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father God, that you're all about the family. You're all about marriage, and you're about those who are even single who's thinking about marriage someday. So we thank you for your blessings upon this show. Bless every listener today. Father God, move right now in this hour as we share and dialogue and talk, Father God, about your goodness, and that your word will not come back void, but it shall accomplish that which you sent it to do. So we thank you in advance for the blessings that is attached to this program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I definitely touch and agree with that prayer, because prayer is effective. Prayer is effective. The Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. They avail of much. And also the Bible says that if we come to God praying anything according to his will, that he will hear those prayers and give us those things for which we have prayed. So take this seriously, that we are the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And we are praying for your marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we're going to open up the phone lines. You might say, how do they do it? How do they be married and be happy? How do they do it? Especially if you're having a hard time. And if you want advice, we're going to open up the phone lines. We will be giving advice today. You can call in for advice. The area code is 646-652-4832. We will advise you in any particular area of your marriage where you're having problems. So we're here today for 1 hour. We will be going off the air at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, God willing. But while we're here, at any time, if the Lord puts it upon your heart to call, you can call in, and we will give you advice on your marriage. Or we will pray with you, right, baby?
Yes, absolutely. One thing that we learned early on is to realize that we didn't have all the answers, but we've studied marriage over the years and we researched it. And not only that, we've been successful in our own marriage, but God has divinely blessed us in this area of relationships and marriage. And we sometimes just feel it a privilege and an honor to help and to share our testimony and share our story and even share our insight in this area of marriage. So it's a wonderful thing that if you are married, feel the liberty to call in today because you're not on an island and you're not by yourself. And sometimes there's safety in a multitude of counsel. So we just want to be here and, you know, kind of be an advocate and go along with what God is already doing in your life.
Amen. And we want to welcome everyone to the chat room and everyone who's streaming. We welcome you to Power in the Word, and also let you know that the chat room is open if you want to come in and interact with other like-minded individuals in the chat room. The chat room is open. So we welcome you, and we welcome everybody who's listening via archive. You can also contact us at any time, Power in the Word 1, that's the number 1, at yahoo.com. If you want to email me or myself, email myself or my husband, Pastor Anthony, with a question or a comment, you can do so by emailing powerintheword1@yahoo.com. And one more piece of business that I want to get out of the way, but make sure that I cover before we go any further, is that people are asking where our church is. People are listening and they're saying, where is their church? Where is New Creation Christian Ministries? Well, our church location is 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we are there every Tuesday for a prayer service, every Wednesday for Bible study, and every Sunday, Tuesday at 7, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. for our worship services. And the Lord does dwell in our church. So we invite you to come out at any time to be a part of what God is doing over at New Creation Christian Ministries at 87 First Street. And if you've been missing it, every Wednesday at 12 noon, New Creation has a broadcast where we broadcast our sermons. We don't open up the chat room. We don't open up the switchboard, but we allow God to speak to the hearts of those who will listen at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday. So, Pastor Emily, where do we start today pertaining to marriage and this conversation that we're going to have today pertaining to marriage?
We obviously got to start with the Word of God. You know, I just performed a marriage ceremony and officiated a marriage a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that is quoted a lot is there in Ephesians where it tells the duty of the wife and the husband.
Yes, you know, Ephesians 5.
Exactly. And it talks about the husband being the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church and gave himself for it. So church being subject to Christ. And it said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. He who loves his wife loves himself. But there's another scripture right in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which talks about marriage. Paul is addressing the issue of marriage. And if I can, I just want to read a few verses here. We can start right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. I'll stop there. Marriage is something that has been ordained by God and has been God-breathed upon. So you and I, we always say, you know, we're married for the second and final time. We just celebrated 12 years of marriage on this Sunday.
Amen.
And it absolutely
Hallelujah.
Has been, amen, to the glory of God. And our lives are to bring him glory. But the excitement, people of God, that you hear in our voice is because we've had mountain and valley experiences, but God has got us through it all. And marriage is just a good thing. It really is a mirror of what God thinks about his church. So we really know that God has called us. You know, one of the things that he told us when we started into ministry is that we're going to help restore family.
Yes.
There's just too many marriages, especially Christian marriages, Pastor Rebecca, that are falling apart.
Yeah.
We have the Word of God. We see so much in Scripture. We know what God thinks about marriage and want for marriage. But why so many Christian homes and marriages are falling apart? We really just got to get back to the Word of God and apply that Word to our lives.
That's it. You just said it. You know, so many marriages are falling apart because one or the other of the individuals involved in that marriage has not committed their lives to Jesus Christ, has not committed their life to Jesus. And in order to have a successful marriage, we must be consecrated unto the Lord. We must be set apart. We must make sure that we are living our lives for God. You know, because if we don't please God, we cannot possibly please our husband or our wife. If you can't please God, you know, it's going to be almost impossible for you to please your spouse. Because as you're living a life that's pleasing to God, then you're able to find favor in the eyes of man.
Amen. I totally agree with that. It's just too much going on in our world to really not have a right relationship with God.
Yes.
He'll guide you in your marriage. He'll put a muzzle on your mouth when you want to speak something that's going to be harsh to your mate. He'll direct you, and he'll give you wisdom in certain areas as far as how to parent and what to do to keep your marriage fresh and alive. God will show you everything pertaining to your marriage. Even when those storms come, he'll give you the ability to endure and
exactly.
get through those hard times of marriage.
Exactly. And you know, so many people are in a storm right now. Pastor Emily and I have been married for 12 years, and we love each other now. You know, we're just really, really in love with each other. But there were times when we couldn't stand each other. And I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we didn't like each other that much because we both had so many issues. And one issue is one too many. You know, he was mean and I was mad. And I tell you, that's
a double whammy.
You know, that's a combustible combination. He was mean and I was mad. You know, mad as in angry, mad as in crazy. You know, they say only dogs go mad, but I believe that's not the truth because human beings can sometimes be so angry, sometimes so bitter that they're foaming at the mouth and they're crazy. Their behavior is crazy, and that's what I was. I was mad. I mean, like a rabbit animal almost. And I thank God for Jesus. And some people might say that's a bit extreme, but if you had Pastor Emily can tell you some of the expressions on my face when I was going off on him. You know, he probably thought I was crazy. You know, like some crazy maniac, you know, that was, you know, really, really like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. Like, who did I marry here? I don't know, baby. You can share. I don't mind you sharing, but you know
mind. Yeah, it really is, you know, at our church that we came from that married us, you had to go through professional counseling, and then we went through other counseling courses. And in that counseling session, a lot of objectivity and a lot of things that we did not know about each other going into the marriage was brought out, and you pretty much think that you're going into the marriage with a sound foundation. But after the wedding, the marriage begins. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes people, you know, they think they dealt with their baggage, they think they dealt with their issues, and you're absolutely right. I was mean. I was really a mean, sarcastic type. Sometimes it was like cold blood running through my veins, and I really have those moments where my heart was hardened. And even so much as to put you to tears sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what I wanted to do because I loved you and I always have. But when you have your own stuff, you don't even see that sometimes in those heated arguments and when you have selfish motives or in those moments when it's just about you, you don't even see the pain that you're causing other people.
Yeah.
So, and that's the reality of some marriages, Pastor Rebecca, some people have not even dealt with the initial baggage and issues.
Yeah.
And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. We can mask it but for so long. We can cover it but for so long, and that thing going to come out unless we
yeah.
deal with it. And we're going to vent and take it out on the ones that we love, and the devil's going to get the upper hand if we don't deal with it and allow God to have his way.
Yeah, you just said something. If you're not dealing with your issues, if you don't deal with your issues before you get married, if you're not married yet, and once you get married, if you're already married and you're having problems and you know you have issues, like you have some childhood issues, some things
yes.
that are bothering you,
yes.
Something happened in your childhood. You've been mad at your daddy, mad at your mom, especially if you're mad at your father and you're a woman, or mad at your mother and you're a man. If you've been rejected, if you've been jilted, if somebody jilted you and left you standing at the altar, if somebody broke your heart, if you have low self-esteem, if you have issues with pornography, or if you have lust issues and you have not dealt with your issues, if you have issues with alcohol or drugs and you have not dealt with your issues, then your marriage is really, really going to have a rocky time. It's going to be very difficult.
It's in jeopardy big time.
Yeah, yeah, for you to have a happy marriage. So it's very important for you to just go ahead and deal with those issues. I had issues for the first 7 years of our marriage, you know, and I didn't deal with them, and I didn't want to deal with them. I was just really stuck in my ways. I mean, I was going to live with those issues. I was hurting, and I wanted to make my husband hurt with me, because all of you know that misery loves company.
My God.
And if you're miserable, you know, then we want to encourage you to just go ahead and get happy in the Lord, because God can take away your misery. He says that I'll give you joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. So God can take away the sadness and give you joy, and he can take away the ugliness and give you beauty. So we have to realize that it's only in the arms of God that we're able to be able to get rid of all of that old stuff and experience true love. Listen, if you have issues, you can't really experience true love and true happiness in a marriage, because your heart is hardened. And God wants to give us a new heart. That's what he did for me. He gave me a new heart. Now, we're talking about marriage today, but really, all of you know, if you've been married before, that it starts with you. It starts with you, and if you've never been married, and you probably know also, if you've been in a relationship, that if you're not happy with yourself, you're not going to be happy with someone else. You're constantly going to be miserable.
Yes,
so
yes.
We're talking about marriage, but we're really talking about you. We're really talking about me. We're really talking about making a difference first in our own lives to become likable, to become lovable, so that we can like someone else. We can like ourselves and love ourselves and then begin to like and love someone else.
Yeah, and one of the mistakes, like I said, we're talking to people who are married or thinking about marriage or who have been married and the marriage ended up in divorce and that marriage fell. One of the things that you brought out just then as you were talking was the fact that as an individual, you know, sometimes, and you talk about it a lot on your shows, especially your Woman to Woman show, some people even enter marriage for that man to fix them or make them complete.
Wow.
And one of our beliefs is that only God can do that.
Wow.
Yes, he can add to your life. Yes, she can bring something to the table. Yes, the two of you are very compatible. But only God can fix certain things in us. And we got to really lay on his surgery table to make that happen. So when somebody tells me, you know, they fell out of love or we're not in love anymore, as you just said, you and I had our moments where that emotion of love just was not there, if we can just be honest.
We
know, but the fact of the matter is that love is more than just a feeling.
Yeah. You know,
it's
Pastor
more
Abby,
than a feeling.
Yeah, and let's do this. Since we are talking about not being in love, we want to do a fight scene that used to occur in our homes, and we just did this for our marriage focus group. Check this out. I'm going to play it now. Amen. And then we'll take some calls.
Hey, honey.
Oh, hi. Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm tired.
You tired today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tired.
Well, I'm hungry. I had a stressful day. I came in with a big appetite. I saw all the stuff on the counter for lasagna tonight, and my mouth is just ready. My taste buds are buzzing for that lasagna that you make. It's awesome.
You know, I don't feel like cooking tonight. I'm going to order some pizza. What's the name of the Roberto's?
Roberto's?
Yeah. Oh, Roberto's. We had it last week. Oh, what's
Roberto's? You didn't make the lasagna?
No, I'm not cooking, baby. I'm tired. Did you just hear I said I'm tired?
No, I don't mean
I'm
to...
I'm tired. I got cramps. I don't feel like it. I'm tired.
I understand. I was just saying, all day long, I was thinking about your lasagna. And I was a little disappointed as I came in, and I just...
But what do you think I'm doing around here? You just think I'm sitting around doing nothing?
I didn't say that. We're both working. I understand we're both working.
Okay, can we cook the lasagna? You want to cook it with me?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to tell you, it's been a long time since I had a home-cooked meal from you.
I don't feel like it. A long time? I cooked 2 days ago. What are you talking about?
That was beans and hot dogs.
But I still cooked. What are you talking about? See, you don't appreciate nothing I do. I'm so sick of this. I don't even know why I married you. Why did I even marry you? You know what? When we were dating, you took me out to dinner all the time.
Yeah, but...
Now we can't go nowhere. We don't do nothing. All you want to do is...
Calm down.
What?
Because all we're talking about is dinner here. That's all we're talking about.
No. It's more than that.
No,
you just treat me like I'm a maid or something. I'm not your maid.
I'm not.
You used to take me to dinner. You haven't brought me any flowers. I used to write me letters. I don't have any cards. You don't even tell me I look good anymore. You don't even tell me I look nice. I fix myself up for you. I could have had on sweatpants.
You're not even talking about the dinner. You're all off the subject.
Because you want me to cook dinner. I don't want to cook.
Well, let's keep it to the issue at hand. Dinner.
But you never listen to me. I'm trying to tell you. You
don't listen to me. You made me a banana pudding the other day, and I told you. My mother used to always make
it. But I see your mother.
No, she used to always make it.
I don't make it. I'm not your mother.
And you do store brand cooking.
I'm not your mother.
What's that all about?
Look, if we have more money, maybe I could afford to buy those name brand Nabisco.
Well, sometimes
I don't. You know, whatever.
You used to care.
All right. Don't even talk to me. Don't talk to me. I don't talk to you no more.
Well, let's calm down.
I don't
want to
talk.
You want to watch the movie?
No, don't talk to me. No.
You don't even want to watch the movie?
No. And stop yelling in front of my kids.
You're not going to watch the movie?
Hallelujah. And that was very real. This was a real, we played this out in our church for our marriage focus group that we have once a month. But this was very real in our lives. And Dr. Tiffany says listening to this makes her a little happy to be single. And, you know, is very real in a lot of homes. A lot of homes are going through this right now where things are not good and there's no communication and no respect. So there's definitely a disconnect there.
And you're absolutely right. Just as that conversation started with dinner and disappointment, went into so many different areas and communication did not have a chance to come into the picture. Because, like you said, just the weight of life, the weight of marriage, the responsibilities of parenting and provision, all was overwhelming, you know, in that particular skit and scenario. But it's a real, real reality to so many homes and so many marriages. That's one reason why, you know, we're kind of picking this up today.
Right. And Ephesians 5:21 tells us to submit one to another. And the recipe box, Barb from the recipe box said, order the pizza. She said, order the pizza before it gets ugly. That would have been one way to cut it off. Another way to cut it off would have been for her to submit and knowing that he came in wanting the lasagna to say, baby, I'm a little tired, but if you really want the lasagna, I'll start making it right now. But she had the wrong attitude and totally disrespected her husband. The Bible in Ephesians tells the woman to reverence her husband, you know, to submit to him. him as unto the Lord. So the right thing would have been for her to go ahead and be quiet and have a kind answer and make the lasagna. And I know there are a lot of women out there probably saying, oh, no, Pastor Rebecca, but yeah, to go ahead and make the lasagna, you know, or to speak to him in a different tone of voice. To calm down, over peace. It was more than that, though. It's always the reason and a real reason for a fight. Pastor
yes.
Anthony, we have a call. You want to go ahead and take this call?
Yes, let's take it now.
Amen. Area code 347, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. And your beautiful husband, Pastor Anthony, how you guys doing?
God bless you. Good, man of God.
God Amen. Bless you. Great. Evangelist Luciano, welcome. Welcome. Amen. Now, what do you think about all of this?
Wow, that's really, I mean, you know, I'm listening to the whole drama, and I don't know. I mean, me personally, I like I said, I was married before. Now, I'm 5'11". I weigh almost like 300 pounds. My wife was a little shorter than I am. And I, me personally, I'm a loving person by nature. You know, God really changes me. And when it came down to, you know, with food and everything, I could perceive. And I know that, you know, it's proven that men could endure longer than a woman physically. You know, and if I see my wife, you know, really stressed, you can see your wife stressed out. You know, it's not something that you can see. It's very obvious, especially if you have children, because her job does not end 9 to 5. It
right.
continues. So you have to be wise as serpents, as the Bible says, but also gentle as doves. And if I see that, I see the voice rising, I will, you know, really put my guard down and say, you know what, honey? Don't worry about it, okay? Because I cook also, so I cook the lasagna.
Wow!
And I let her rest. The
right.
Bible says, "Conquer good with you know, conquer evil with good."
Yes.
And I in my relationship with my ex-wife, that's what I did. At the end at night, she always came and apologized to me.
Amen. And the Bible tells the man to live with his wife in full understanding. So that's good. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
No, I think what he was trying to point out is that before the argument escalated to the level that it did, you're saying there's a way to diffuse it even before it gets that far.
Yes, yeah, because, again, I may not know my spouse as good, but one thing, we know human nature.
Yeah.
We know when you see the voice rise, especially if you know her voice is like that. And what I do is, if the Lord permits me to get married, I will view things a different than my first marriage. This time I will get to know the family more. Because
right.
I always say the family is a reflection of your wife. So I get to know different things that possibly you're not going to let me see, you know. So I try to really reheard. I start, you know, really look at how her family act under pressure, and I know that some of that will soon later will come out. So I will deal with that, you know, as soon as possible.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Now there's some conversation in the chat room saying that we always hear about women submitting, but never about men given their life. And the scripture says in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that's important that we realize that it is a mutual submission. And then it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So basically, it says in verse 28, so might men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And that's what we were saying. Now, see, the only way that this is going to work, and God bless you, Sean, welcome. The only way that this is going to work is by following the whole text. There has to be mutual submission, amen. The wife does have to sometimes bring it down in the area of her emotions and submit to her husband as she would unto the Lord. The man has to love his wife as he loves his own self and love the wife as Christ loved the church so much that he would lay down his life for her, even in the area of starving to death if she doesn't feed him or going to get some pizza. So, yes, it is more than just a lasagna versus pizza. It's that we all need to be in order. There's a divine order. And the problem with marriage is that somebody, one or the other, is always, when there's a problem, that there's one or two people that are out of order.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely.
Pastor Rebecca, I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
No, you can absolutely say that again because, the Bible clearly gives us a diagram and a blueprint of what the household should look like, a godly household.
Yeah.
And when we come outside of that, that's when the trouble comes in.
Amen.
That's when the trouble really comes in because the scenarios, you and I, when we had our baby, Kayla, one thing we were used to was going out and having dates and doing different things, coffee or going to Broadway plays and things of that nature. But it was a frustrating season because it got to the place where all that was taken away. And there's a certain stress and strain on marriage, even outside of the norm of what you already planned. We have kids, you're going to work. If we have kids, we're going to put them in daycare. Or if you lose your job or if we do this or that, who's going to quit their employment? All these things come from communication. But even after you plan, the unexpected can happen. And
amen.
And anytime you come outside still of the blueprint of marriage, even when the stress of life comes in, you're always going to have trouble.
Pastor Anthony, what's the foundation of a good marriage?
The foundation of a good marriage is to have God first, your marriage as the next priority in your family, and everything else.
And to build
Go ahead.
And to build it. What do we build that marriage upon?
The teachings of Jesus.
Amen.
All right there. When he refers to the foolish and wise builder in Matthew 7, he says that person who builds the house on the sand and their house falls in the great storms of life, he said that person is the person who was unwise and did not build their house on the word of God. But it says the wise builder builds the house on the teachings of Jesus.
And when the storms come, that house can stand. And it will stand. And Bob from the Recipe Boss is talking about the most excellent way. Where Paul says, I'll show you the most excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12:31. And he goes on in 13 to do a whole chapter on love.
Yes.
Evangelist, I think you have something to say.
Yeah, no, I was thinking. It's like I said, it sounds good, and it could work to that point that we could submit one to another. But now, this is the question: what would happen if you have two people, the husband and wife, have the same type of character that don't want to submit,
I hear what you're saying. You're saying you have two people and neither one want to submit to each other. They both want to be the boss.
Yeah, by nature, and by they've been taught that. You submit. No, I. And then use the Bible to almost bring the person down. Their self-esteem. You have to submit because the Bible says it. Almost using the Bible as to put the self-esteem of that individual down.
Right.
How you will approach that.
And, that's,
And you're talking about Christians. You're not talking about unsaved people.
Right. Right. And that person who's doing that is out of control because God, I mean, out of order, because God is not about manipulation. Manipulation is not God. Controlling another person by using God's word is not God. You know, so I say we counter, Pastor said it already, Pastor Emily said, we counter evil. You said it, Evangelist. We counter evil with good. I believe, this is just my belief, I believe that if one person takes the high road and continues to seek God's face, then there's hope for that marriage. Now, if both people are out of order and say, you know what, I'm not going to do the right thing because you're not doing the right thing, then that marriage is doomed and it's heading for a divorce court. Now, if both people line up with the word of God, then you can have a beautiful marriage. So you're going to have three scenarios. You're going to have the scenario, and Pastor Anthony and I have been through all three. We've been through all three, where we both were hard-headed and neither one of us wanted to submit. We both wanted our way, as you heard in the fight scene, and we had hell in our marriage. And then we had times when one or the other were lined up with the word of God, but the other one wasn't. And it was still a tough time. But one of us was praying, and there was hope. And now we're to a point where we both have said, we're not going to submit to each other only, but we're first submitting to God. See, that's where you have your power. When you can submit to God first, then it's easier to submit to your spouse.
And Pastor Rebecca, if I can just stay here for a minute. You know, it's amazing how, you know, we get that question a lot as we counsel couples about, you know, the strong woman type. And it is those characteristics that allowed us to fall in love with our wife or with our husband. That strong personality, the fact that they was not double-minded, the fact that they were sure of what they wanted out of life. Now, that same characteristic and personality comes into our marriage, and the double will make it an ugly thing.
Yeah.
You're still a strong, powerful woman of God, but you have learned how to channel that into the context in which God wants it to be channeled in. You don't lose yourself in marriage.
Right.
You
I lost my
your ways.
Right. I lost my old nature.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. God says in Ezekiel that he would give us a new heart and move us through that heart to obey his commandments. So I became a new creation by, again, submitting myself to the lordship of Christ, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Look, the Holy Spirit comes to give us power and to lead us in the path of right and wrong. So we can't, in our own flesh, look, in my own flesh, I can't be a good wife to my husband. I cannot. I mean, my old nature constantly wars against my new nature. It didn't
Amen.
Disappear. It just had to be put to death daily. Every day I have to say, Rebecca, that used the way you used to be, that way is gone. It's passed away. And you are a new creation in Christ. You're a new woman. God has made
yes.
you a better woman, a woman which can be happy in marriage. And I don't have to fight my husband like I used to try to. I don't have to curse him out like I used to curse him out. I don't have to disrespect him like I used to disrespect him. But now I can bow down to the God in him as unto the Lord. I can bow down not to the man but to the God in him because he's leading. Now, there are some women out there, and the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. There are some women out there. You're married to a man who's not following the Lord, and I know it. I know that there are some women out there, and your husband is not leading the way that he should. He's not leading you as a man should lead his wife. And you're saying, well, how do I bow down to that? I don't know. Pastor Anthony, do you have something for the woman out there there who's not married to a man who's Christian, or maybe he's Christian, but he's not. So I see some in the chat room, some people are saying that they're pastors and men of God who are abusing their wives, you know, who are being abusive, who are being physically abusive or emotionally and mentally abusive to their spouses. How does the woman deal with this? How does a woman of God or any woman deal with a man who's not following these guidelines that we just outlined?
I mean, you both kind of touched on it as far as what you were saying, you know, about the different characteristics and the different things that enter into marriage. But the Bible states, I'm not sure it's alluding me right now, but it says to win that unbelieving husband over by your walk with God.
Wow.
You know, but in that case, when you try to put the Bible forth weeks, months, and years later, and his husband still won't go to church, he still won't hand his life over to Christ, he still won't bow down and get saved and receive the salvation of the Lord, now God has to step in just like any other hardship or situation and give you divine revelation and guidance as to what to do in that situation.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people, we kind of want to put things under this emotional abuse thing, and that's a real large, big umbrella. You know, you and I tell people right away, if he's putting his hands on you, you know, people say it's not biblically based, but we don't believe anyone should abuse you.
That's
not in the Bible. If he put his hands on you once, you and I teach, get up out of there. Until he gets anger management, until he gets counsel, until he turns over his evil ways, that is no reason for you to stay talking about, I'm going to put religion first and stay because the Bible says God hates divorce. We, you know, we throw scriptures at stuff, but reality says something else.
Right.
You
Amen.
Need to read the Bible and get the spirit of God that the Bible is clearly saying. Yes, God hates divorce, and that's why we're talking about marriage today. But he does not say to stay in something where you can almost lose your life or lose something else, you know, because of someone physically abusing you or even mentally or emotionally abusing you. We don't want to downplay that also, because that is a reality for so many wives and women.
Amen. Now, Tonio Talks is saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You can clarify on that and whatever happened to praying. Okay, praying. If you're being beaten, we're not advocating divorce. We're saying if somebody is hitting you, you have to get to safety. You have to get to a point of safety. And from that place, you can pray. But do not stay in a situation where you are being physically abused. The Bible also talks about the only way that a person can leave and get a divorce is if there's sexual infidelity and if that person is abandoned by their spouse. Then the Bible says that God allows, does not say that God approves, but he allows divorce. And Jesus said, you only get that because you had heart and hearts and you didn't want to deal with the area of forgiveness, which is key for marriage. But again, I tell people, you may say I'm wrong or not, but if somebody's hitting you, get to a point of safety and pray from that point. I'm not saying get divorced. Pray from that point. God can change anything, and he can.
I'm sorry. The assumption of prayer, you know, even in my last statement, was assumed that, you know, that husband who's unbelieving, who won't come to church, won't give his life to Christ, we're just assuming that you're praying, because if you're going to church every Sunday and the husband's staying home, God wants a godly household. God truly desires that. And sometimes as you got, you know, married, you both were not saved, or one of you was saved, and sometimes, you know, the Bible says yoke up with unbelievers, and we made decisions along the way. But God truly wants an expected end of a godly household where
yes.
both people are serving him.
Ultimately, yeah. I tried to fight my husband, and Sean, I see you. We're going to put you on the air. I tried to fight my husband, and thank God he did not leave. Amen. He did not leave me. He did not put his hands on me, and he did not leave.
And Rebecca, just keep that thought, because I just want to interject right here. And I came from an abusive household where my father did abuse my mother.
Amen. And his mother today stayed. She would tell you that she stayed. She did not leave her husband. We have another call. I'm going to thank God that my husband did not leave and he did not fight me, but I personally would have left if a man would have put his hands on me because my father beat my mother. Fought my mother, and my mother fought back. And as a child growing up in that environment, I suffered. I suffered. So we're not going to get hung up on that, because that's not what we're married. My husband and I are married 12 years and we're happy. And we've been through some stuff. So that's just something that I think we're blowing it out of proportion. Because we're not talking about divorce. We're talking about being married and being happy. And God can get you through. We were saying that if you're being emotionally or mentally abused, that God can get you through that.
Because God made man is just, I was old, so.
Sean, are you with us? Sean, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Just listening, because the quality of the voice, because I'm going talking to you through that click to talking, and it's very, very, very poor quality, so I'm just listening.
Okay, amen. You're just listening. Amen. Okay, praise God. So the thing about it is, we have to know that God's plan is for us to be married and to be happy, you know, and it's not his plan for us to be divorced. So don't get caught up on that one thing and try to take, allow the devil to distract you. We were talking about if that marriage is not working, if your husband is not lined up with the word of God. Pastor Emily, that was the question.
Yeah, and we don't want to, like, I'm so glad you brought it back to our main topic, which is being happily married and staying married. You know, we can get off on the specifics, but our objective today is to help those who may have the answer right there as we're talking today and say, Lord, you know, I thank you. You know, and that's the areas we're covering today is those people who really have had that answer to their marital woes elude them. So prayerfully, what we're talking about today, where, you know, you're arguing in front of the children and things are happening, or you have a financial burden and, you know, now should both people go back out and work? Who's going to take care of the kids? You know, daycare is too expensive. We're talking about all those different scenarios where it can still be a win-win situation.
Amen. And Antonio, you can call in 646-652-4832. Pastor Emily, I said, your answer to that question, let's not get distracted. Your answer to that question was, what if a wife has a husband or a husband has a wife that refuses to line up with the word of God? And you said, the Bible says that they will be won over by your life that you present in front of them. Hold on. Keep living for God. Keep believing God. Stay rooted and grounded in the word of God. And the Bible says that spouse will come around.
That's
now, it's going
Bible
to be
says.
Up to
That's
you
right.
to persevere. It's going to be up to you to hold on to the faith and
right.
to continue, like Tonio says, to believe that you have a God who can change anything. Yes, that is unequivocally the answer to that question, that you hold on, that you stay. We counsel people all of the time, even people who are being mentally and verbally abused, and we tell them to hold on to God's unchanging hand, to get into prayer, to get into the word of God, to stay in fellowship with God, to not let the devil take their joy. And I tell you, my husband and I have been through some hard times. We've been married for 12 years. We both came into the marriage with issues. Let's not get sidetracked. We came into the marriage with issues, and neither one of us were ready to abandon the vows that we made before God and man that we would be together until death do us part. We tell people when we counsel them before marriage, and we recommend counseling before marriage, and when we counsel them once they are married and having problems, because you will have problems once you're married, and we tell them these five words: divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. If you keep
that
in your
mind. We believe that. We strongly believe that.
Divorce is not an option. So you have to, and that's not, the Bible doesn't say, it says that God hates divorce. And it does give you options for divorce. But we tell people, you have to go in with the mindset that divorce is not an option. What we're saying to you is that you have to choose to commit to being married forever, which means that you might have to change.
Amen.
Pastor Anthony, did I say that right?
Oh, you said it absolutely right. And that's one reason, like you said, for that person who's listening now who's frustrated in their marriage, you know, the joy can come back. The bliss and the happiness can come back. You can regain some of that excitement for each other that you once had. But as Pastor Rebecca just said, we got to continue to apply this word of God to our lives. You know, don't let nothing or no one take your joy. Continue to praise, continue to seek God, continue to allow him to be your number one priority in life. And God will deliver our marriages. He'll turn our homes around. You know, I got brought up with a mother that said, you know, used to say an old saying, a zebra can't change its stripes. In other words, she believed that there are some men, some women that will never change. And I just don't believe that because I look at my own life. And I'm doing some things today that I never thought I would be doing. And marriage is one of them. Marriage is absolutely one of them. So with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible.
Amen. Now I want to answer this question because we have 9 minutes. And, you know, if you have a question, you can call in now. We have 9 minutes. And I want to let you know that we have marriage talk in the room. Dr. Minister Amelia Coles and her husband Danny have a marriage program that's airing on 8-1 is going to be the intro to their program, and they're going to introduce you to what they do on 8-1. And they have a program that's geared totally around marriage. And because of the number of people that are listening, I know you all want to be a part of listening to that program. On Friday, August the 1st, and then on Friday, August the 8th, they're going to be doing communication, finances, and sex in marriage. And then on Friday, August the 15th, they're doing Overcoming Infidelity. We have some help because it's too much for us to cover in this 1 hour. Their program is blogtalkradio.com/marriagetalk. And that's next Friday, the 1st, August the 1st, at 10 o'clock p.m. Amen. So tune in to listen to them. When they begin their program, I believe it's going to be an asset for your marriage. They are ministers, and they are going to minister to you in the area of your marriage, just as we are doing today. Well, Pastor Emily and I want to make sure you don't miss. What you can't miss is if you want to be happy in marriage or any relationship, you have to put yourself second and put God first. You have to put God first. God has to come first. And if you can't do that, if you can't submit to God, you're not going to be able to submit to your spouse. The next thing that you're going to have to do is deal with your issues. If you have anger issues, if you have unforgiveness issues, if you have esteem, self-esteem issues, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know that you're wonderfully and fearfully made, somebody in Christ, then you are not going to be able to be happy in a marriage because you're going to look at your spouse as your source. And people have gotten mad at me and left my church because I said that Pastor Anthony, my husband, is not my source. Pastor Emily is not my source of joy. He cannot possibly make me happy. And I've said it, but he adds tremendously to the joy that the Lord has given me. Do you hear what I'm saying? He asks, and I know I can't make him happy. I know that his joy comes from the Lord, but I know that I add tremendously to the joy that God has already given him. And that's going to be your key. When you stop looking outward at man for your joy and you look at the joy that the Lord has already or can deposit on the inside of you. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor Rebecca is just amazing because, you know, some people say, you know, as we do the wedding and the two shall become one flesh. And we look at that process as, Lord, how in the world can you take two people with so many different, you know, ways of thinking and ways of thought and family backgrounds and so much, you know, even with the compatibility, there's so many differences and we are supposed to become one flesh. In God, it will happen. With God, it can happen. How could two walk together unless they agree? You agreeing of the things and in the things of Christ. That's what that scripture is all about. How could two walk together unless they agree? A house divided shall surely not stand. It's simply saying we need to allow Jesus and Christ and God the Father to be our main source and then the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to say that God healed me. And, you know, only God could heal me. I had some issues. Everybody, you listen, you know, childhood issues. I had a whole bunch of childhood issues. And only God was able to heal me. We're talking to people who are already married. Next week, we'll deal with people who are thinking about getting married. But you're already married. And maybe you were not even saved when you got married. Or maybe you married an unbeliever already. You know you were backslidden or something, and you married an unbeliever. God can bring you through that, and he can help your spouse to change. But expect to go through some tough times. You know, this is something that you might not hear on marriage shows. Expect to go through some tough times. Expect to go through some times when you're not getting along, when you don't love each other, when you don't like each other, when somebody's disrespecting each other. Expect to go through some hard times when you can't communicate with each other, because they will come. But know that God won't put any more on you than you can endure. And if you continue to take the advice that we've been given throughout this program, put God first and let him deal with you, then you can make it. Not let your spouse be your source of happiness, then it doesn't matter if you're in a storm or not. You're still going to be able to rejoice and praise God, because you have joy, joy, joy on the inside. And it's not determined on how good or bad your spouse treats you. You will be able to endure when he has issues, when she has issues, when you can't communicate, when they lock you out, when they shut you out and just won't do right. If you keep God first, you're going to be okay. That's all we're saying today.
And one of the things we met some people where they made living arrangements to sleep in separate bedrooms and just staying together for the sake of the children. We know that's a reality in our world. Some people are just proud of the fact that they're still married. But we want you to be married like the Bible says, be married. The marriage bed being undefiled, meaning you two should be having intimacy with one another. And if you're not there, you can get there. And I just pray that this show today will help you get back on the path that you know God wants you and your husband on, or you and your wife on.
Amen, Pastor Anthony. And in the last 3 minutes, you know, I pray you hear our hearts. You know, what we're trying to say to you today, married or single, but especially for those of you who are married, your key to marital success is letting God rule and reign in your life through Jesus Christ. By getting rooted and grounded in his word, delighting yourself in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, and everything that you do, even your marriage, will prosper. By not leaning on your own understanding, but trusting in the Lord in all that you do. And he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. He will show you what to do and which way to go. And by submitting to the Lord and submitting to your husband, submitting to your wife, by doing this, you are guaranteed success in Christ. Amen. In your marriage, in your daily walk, in everything that you do, put God first. Put God first, and you will be able to live happily ever after in your marriage. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony?
Amen. I totally agree with that. And some people listening today, you know, your marriage is well, but today it was enriched. It went to a new level. And the family that prays together really does stay together. So, again, as someone pointed out earlier during this broadcast, prayer is essential, because the devil is so deceptive and so deceiving. So we must pray. And men of God, husbands, we must stand on the wall for our family. We're called to be the priests, providers, and protectors of our home. We are the spiritual ones that God is really looking for to lead. And the wives have been spiritual, the ones going to church, the ones taking the kids to church, and God is calling men to their rightful place in this hour. And
Amen.
Being a provider, yes, women are making more than a lot of men today, but, you know, the ultimate objective of us is to always be the breadwinner and try to provide for our families and to
Amen.
Protect. We need to protect our women and our daughters and our children, because there are some wolves out here that are going after our wives, going after our daughters, and going after the women in our lives. So God is calling us men, us husbands, us representatives of him, to really get into position to take care of our families. And one of those positions is to stay the husband that he has called you to be.
Amen. And ultimately, love is the most excellent way. As Barb and so many people have said, love is the most excellent way. Love is not controlling. It's not jealous. It's not envious. It does not hold on to old wrongs. Forgive. Forgive the old and walk forward into the new day of today. Amen. To be enlightened has said some great things. The nature of the times we live in will try the marriages and souls of men and women. So either the trials and tribulations will draw you closer to your spouse or drive you further away. The choice is yours. And as you draw near to God, pray for your spouse, love your spouse, forgive your spouse, be kind to your spouse. Draw near to God, and the devil will flee. Yes, marriage is under attack, but it is not defeated because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We thank you all for listening today. God bless you. We'll see you on next Tuesday. Be blessed and be happily ever after in your marriage. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony?
God bless.
God bless you. I'll see you when you get home from work, honey. I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you. God bless you all. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember my sister, remember my brother, that God loves you. And so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.